For the second week in a row, there's a 3-hour AEW block. I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore.
It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast here, folks, so this is going to get might get a little spicy. Let's do this.
This is the after-hour show.
The after-hour show. It to this point.
Yep.
And I wouldn't have it any other way because I get to do it with, don't tell the rest of the boys, but one of my favorite co-hosts. Brown boys are together, and we're about to make it super smexy up in here.
Woo! All right.
All righty. But welcome, BC WrestlePod nerds, for a special Collision Collective and Cleanup Crew review. It is very late here on the West Coast and for the East Coast. So, y'all, if you've seen one of our videos, you've seen them all. Check us out on the internet at BC WrestlePod, wherever you can find us. We got video, audio, and a bunch of us are going to be at the New Jersey Wrestle Show Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We're going to get through this together, Adolfo.
Yep. Like, we got this. We got this. Okay.
So we're gonna start with AEW Collision. Then we're going to go through Rampage. And then I'm going to quickly get Adolfo's picks for Dynasty because that is in less than 24 hours at this point, too.
Less than 24 hours.
It's a lot. It's crazy. All right. So let's begin with AEW Collision. We kick off with a trios match. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe to take it on Top Flight and Action Andretti in trios action tonight. I thought this was a fun opener.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a good time. It was a fun, solid opener. And I enjoyed myself watching this whole entire thing.
Yeah. It was a very fun match. We Top Flight and Action Andretti didn't go as high as they normally go. They kept, in my opinion, they kept very grounded, but not that was a bad thing though. You know, it still had a lot of energy, told a good story. Kingston, Adam Copeland, and
Briscoe,
and my boy Mark Briscoe, they put it on. It was a good match. I am bummed that this trios match with the House of Black, which is happening tomorrow at Dynasty, or today, I should say, because again, it's 2 o'clock over here on the East Coast. So, but I'm bummed that there wasn't more of a tie-in to build up to that, because that's the theme that it kind of felt like in this Collision Rampage, was that they were, you know, building up to the matches that were coming up on Dynasty. So they had a lot of people that are wrestling each other on Dynasty in, you know, different matches, like tag team matches, trio matches, you know, small little setups. I wish we would have seen, instead of House of Black in that video package, I wish we would have actually seen them in, you know, out in the ring wrestling. But, you know.
No, I agree with you. While the video package and the Titantron promo was really cool from House of Black, as I always loved their aesthetic, I do think an in-person stare-off would have been more effective, but it doesn't lessen my excitement for the 6-man tag that we are getting at Dynasty, which is going to be great. A video package really quickly from Swerve Strickland, which is, you know, talking about the big match that is happening on Dynasty. And we're pretty much probably safe to assume that Joe and Swerve are closing out Dynasty.
I would, I would make that bet if I was putting money on it.
A betting man. But I'm excited. I think Swerve and Joe are going to tear the roof off the place too. And I'm looking forward to that match. And who knows? We'll see if this ends up being Swerve's time, or if my conspiracy theory and how I wanted to book Swerve is going to happen. So we'll see with that.
Yeah, for the few weeks leading up to Dynasty, I was pretty confident that Joe was going to be walking out of this with the title. But after this past week and after that video package, I'm not so sure, you know, because, Swerve's just really over. And we'll talk, but we can go on.
Love it. So we leave Swerve's video package and we get into our squash match of the evening for Collision. This saw Powerhouse Hawks take on local talent CJ Esparza. This was just a serve for the fact that Hobbs is going to destroy somebody, and destroy somebody he did, because this didn't even last for two whole minutes.
Yep. And he's using Lex Luger's rack with Lex Luger's permission.
Which is fantastic. But the important thing that came out of this was not the match itself, but what we got afterwards. So, love watching Don Callis get booed by the AEW universe.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the Don Callis family, talking about Hobbs in general. And the important thing to come out of this is that we already knew that it was going to be Mox versus Hobbs on this upcoming episode of Dynamite. We got that all situated from Dynamite this week. However, because of Don Callis and favors that he is owed, Hobbs versus Mox on Dynamite this upcoming week is now going to be for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
Interesting little twist.
Did we clear this with New Japan? Okay, cool. Let's see where this goes.
That very interesting twist. I'm going to be tuning into Dynamite to see that. I want to see how that goes.
That it should be very, very interesting. So we go from here. We get another video package. This time it's about Will Ospreay and talking about his upcoming match with Bryan Danielson at Dynasty, which is also another match I'm looking forward to. And that's going to tear the roof off the house, I hope.
Yep.
But the whole story and narrative we built, and Will still thinks that he's the best wrestler in the world. And on Sunday at Dynasty, he's going to prove that by beating Danielson, which I'm super excited about. This again, this match I think is going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quickly get through this part. We get a recap of what happened on Dynamite with Taz, Jericho, and Hook. And then Adolfo's just like, yeah. Then we get a video package from Chris Jericho. He apologizes for the way he acted on Dynamite, but he needs to make sure that Hook gets taught some lessons. And, you know, the learning tree is not only going to teach him life lessons, but wrestling lessons as well. And Hook's going to learn by Jericho taking the title.
Is this a new nickname that Jericho has given himself, the learning tree?
I don't know, but TNA used it first earlier in 2023. So Jericho's now on copyright infringement status. But when we get to the end of Rampage and I get your picks for Dynasty on camera too, I'm just going to let you know, and I'm going to reiterate this fact. Out of spite, I picked against Jericho, and I hope Hook retains. And that's just out of spite.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Speaking of being spiteful, we get a tag team match with the Acclaimed and the Guns, and Tony Khan was being spiteful against the Guns because Tony Schiavone relayed the message that if the Guns walked out of this match and didn't wrestle the Acclaimed tonight, there would be no title for title match on Zero Hour at Dynasty.
Yeah, did the Guns like threaten not to wrestle tonight or something like that? Like, because that Tony Schiavone thing, to me at least, came completely out of left field.
I know that the Guns and, you know, Bullet Club Gold in general have always had a history of like playing like the heelish types and be like, oh, we don't want to wrestle these folks, so we're just going to walk out of this. And I get, because the way that we got this match is the Acclaimed wanted to challenge the Guns before this title for title match. So I guess it was fine, but I feel like that there were some missing parts of having to have this, like, the Acclaimed and the Bullet Club Gold haven't wrestled where, you know, we have had a walkout before. So it was kind of weird to see this. I thought the match itself, I thought it was good, not great. Shenanigans, of course, always happens, especially when you get involved with Bullet Club Gold. And the Guns pick up the victory over the Acclaimed. By the end of the match on Zero Hour tomorrow for title, I feel that I need Bullet Club Gold, the Bang Bang Gang, to win that match because they feel like they have more to lose if they don't win.
I feel like having the Acclaimed pick up the win tonight kind of solidifies them losing tomorrow night to Club Gold.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with all of that. Backstage, we are having this promo with Bryan Danielson talking about the upcoming Bunkhouse Brawl match that is about to go down between BCC and Don Callis' family. But the more interesting part is halfway through this, Will Ospreay comes in and he tries to explain to Danielson that he has nothing to do with what's been going on with the Don Callis family, and he wanted to clear his name because he wants Danielson at 100% when they fight at Dynasty, and that you have to believe me. And Daniel says, sure, which means that he doesn't. And Will is actually very distraught for the fact that he thinks Danielson thinks he's lying.
Yeah, Yeah. The Danielson thinks that Will Ospreay has the Don Callis family coming out to soften him up. It's a very interesting angle. It's professional wrestling, so anything can happen. But I see tomorrow night at Dynasty, Danielson winning despite of Don Callis shenanigans and Will Ospreay walking out on the Don Callis family. Like, because since he's come back, it hasn't felt like he has really accepted or, you know, has wanted to be part of the Don Callis family. You know, it's felt like, especially, you know, since he's come back, he's just like, he's gotten such a huge pop, you know, and he's really over right now that I don't think he needs to be with the Don Callis family, you know?
No. And so, we kind of discussed it over on Dynamite this week too. This is just a placeholder until Mark Davis is cleared. And then eventually Will, Mark Davis, and Kyle Fletcher will form their version of the United Empire in AEW with the three of them. So I'm looking forward to the match between Danielson and Ospreay come Dynasty. So yeah, it's going to be some exciting stuff. Then we get to my promo of the night and probably my promo of the whole entire week so far with Timeless Tony Storm.
Jeez. Oh, man. Go ahead.
So it is late, so we're about to get a little spicy around, you know, following the guidelines of where this is going to get uploaded. But can I just say, I love Tony Storm. Before, I was melting by the end of this promo. I'm like, why is this so good? And I'm like, slightly turned
off. Yeah, no doubt. Like, even with all with the lipstick all like smeared on her face still and all that, her promo spots have, in my personal opinion, I might be on this island alone. If I am, I give zero shits, but I feel like her promo spots have just gotten better and better and better. And even though she added that, like, that sensuality, you know, of, you know, what was it? Thunder Rose, you said that you're going to take me to hell, but, you know, I
wrestle hell, with them every
yeah. Hell is in my bedroom, and I make love to my demons every night. And you can just, you know, you can just watch, you know, like, it just adding that whole sensuality angle to it. Just, in my opinion, didn't even make it dirty, but just like made it like more raw and visceral, you know, and just propel that spot even more to accentuate that very emotional spot that Thunder Rosa gave earlier this week. So, I mean, I'm excited to see these two go at it. Like, if they don't beat the crap out of each other, and if they don't get 20 minutes over 20 upset. Minutes, they don't get over 20 minutes, I'm going to be pissed. I might be throwing stuff. It depends, but I will definitely be pissed.
No, I'm so, with my co-host here. If Tony and Thunder don't get the time that is needed after cutting some amazing promos leading into this match, I will riot. But this is by far the best promo of Tony's career so far. I'm like, this is going to make the highlight reel when we look back at her career, because this promo was fantastic. And then for me personally, that this leads into my match of the evening, the Bunkhouse Brawl match. BCC being represented by Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli, taking on the Don Callis family, being represented by Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita.
With a guest appearance by Powerhouse Hobbs and John Moxley.
So let me just read you my notes, because there was a lot that happened in this match.
There was a lot.
Especially in the finish. Let me read you my notes that I wrote for this.
Go ahead. You got your notes. Go.
So, literally, I wrote in my notes as fast as I can, because I had to scribble, because everything happened within like 5 seconds of each other. I don't even know how to write everything, but this is what went down. There was a Hobbs running, a Moxley running. Claudio did a cannonball senton off the apron holding his ROH figure. Nigel doing actual comedy the whole entire match too, which was fantastic.
But he didn't call Bryan Danielson Clam Digger. What happened?
I don't know.
What happened, Nigel? That was the best. That clam digger.
Yeah, literally, Nigel was just dogging Danielson the whole time. Fletcher grabs a chain from under the ring.
And then Nigel, once again, with the comedy, I knew he was technically proficient. He's a chain wrestler. That popped me a little bit. I was like,
yep.
Where has Nigel been? I loved it.
The audience chanting for tables.
Yes, that was great. It was so funny. But in the end, Danielson takes that chain and does a lapel lock on Kyle Fletcher with that visual with a bloody Kyle Fletcher tapping with the chain in his mouth. That was a beautiful thing. This match ruled. I loved it so much.
This
was great.
So starting off from the top, you had Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli coming in first, and then you had Fletcher and Takeshita jumping them, and the match starts, right? The first thing I chuckled heartily at was when Claudio and Takeshita pair up and they're outside of the ring. They're like in where the audience is, right? Takeshita still has his like fancy jacket on, and Claudio did the whole like, I'm going to hold your jacket and make it look like I'm shaking you, but this way you can get out of your jacket and not, you know. So like you had like Takeshita slow-mo getting out of his jacket. I was fucking dying. It was hilarious. And then, you know, admittedly, the beginning of this match to me was a little bit sloppy. You know, they were in the audience and it didn't seem like the spots were too solid that they were doing. But then as the match went on and as they got it into the ring, then that's when it kind of like congealed into a good match for me. The other spot that had me scratching my head though was, so Bryan Danielson, he went to go jump out of the ring at Kyle Fletcher, but Kyle throws a steel chair at him, which hits Danielson in the shoulder and like the back area, because you know that's where you want to catch that, you know, the steel chair when it's tossed at you, because that's where you got the most meat. Camera cuts away to Claudio and Takeshita, then comes back to Bryan Danielson, and he's on the floor with a cut forehead, and the announcer's like, oh, he split open in the forehead from the steel chair. I'm like, but the steel chair didn't, but it, okay. You know, so I thought that was funny. And then, you know, later on, of course, Takeshita like digging in and like ripping open the forehead cut more. That was comical to me. But yeah, the lapel lock with the chain, that was pretty nasty. And that was a way to end it. That was a very creative way to end it. Like you had said, we were texting back and forth, me and Mikey. Very creative way to end that match. I'm super happy that it didn't end with Claudio fucking running around and European uppercutting everyone, because
we've been seeing it a lot recently.
Every Claudio Castagnoli match, it just seems like that's where it all culminates, is to him running around and doing your, I don't even think, I think he got maybe, excuse me, one or two European uppercuts, but excuse me, he didn't do that thing where he runs back and like runs around in European uppercuts. So that was nice.
It was. And then after the match, Danielson cuts promo, basically saying that he's going to kill Will Ospreay tomorrow, and he's going to prove that Danielson is in fact the best wrestler. And he also talks about how he's going to beat Will so bad because his version of heaven is standing in this ring bleeding all over the place. And I was just like, duly noted.
Right, dude. Okay, okay, Bri, you're good. We got you.
Bleeding. I'm like sitting here. I was just like, I don't know if it's late or not, but I'm just like, all right then.
Right. Something else. I don't know. I don't know if it's because, you know, I stayed up and watched the West Coast feed, and I've had a long day, so you know things are a little hazy. But I could have sworn. So, in the middle of this match, Powerhouse Hobbs comes running out, okay? And they didn't kick his music on. He just came running out and, you know, and put a stomp down on Claudio and put a stomp down on Bryan. But then Mox's music kicks in, right? And he does the thing where he comes in from the crowd and I mean, Powerhouse is staring at the ramp, you know, waiting for Mox to come down. So, of course, Mox comes out of the crowd and jumps in the ring. And I could have sworn that Takeshita, Claudio, Danielson, and Fletcher just stopped and just kind of watched Mox and Powerhouse do the like guest appearance and start beating up on each other and then like disappear into the crowd. And then they started wrestling again. Like, again, maybe it's just because it's late, you know, but it looked like a Bugs Bunny cartoon to me, that section. So
it was fantastic. So we go to commercial, we come back from commercial, and we are backstage with our favorite dysfunctional family in AEW right now. Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, yeah, and Stokely Hathaway, basically talking about Willow getting attacked on Dynamite and then her and Copeland losing the match to Julia and Brody King on Dynamite, but then also Chris just going full unhinged with this promo and Stokely being the hype man, basically hyping up Willow. Willow talks about how she's going to take the title from Julia and then she's going to take that title, bitch. And then like World Star, and then I was like, this is so unhinged, but I loved it so much.
It was the promo that they needed. It was the promo that we all deserved. I'm so in. I'm locked in for this match tomorrow night. I'm excited. Can't wait.
It was. So from here, we go to our only women's match of the whole entire evening. Sky Blue versus Legit Layla Hirsch. Love seeing Layla get more television time. But unfortunately, as me and Adolfo were sending text messages back and forth throughout the whole 3-hour block, anytime we know, as the two of us also watch ROH, we know any of the ROH talent that gets lots of AEW screen time means that they're probably going to get the pin. And by golly gee Williker, that's exactly what happened, because Layla Hirsch did her best. And I thought this was a really solid match, minus the one hiccup towards the end.
Yep.
Sky Blue ultimately picks up the victory here. And I'm like, it just makes me sad. I like Layla Hirsch and I love the ROH talent. I'm just sad and I'm tired of seeing them always get pinned.
Yeah. I'm a big, what is it that the kids say nowadays? I'm a stan for Sky Blue.
Yeah.
Is that the right?
Sure. Yeah,
no, I'm a fan of Sith Blue. And yeah, when I saw that she was going up against Layla Hirsch, I knew that Layla was going to eat that pin. Didn't want her to. I enjoy watching Layla Hirsch wrestle as well. I'm really impressed with the stuff that she does on H, and even, you know, when she comes out for the AEW stuff. And yeah, this match, it was a solid match. There was a lot of good moves from both of them. It just seemed like at the end, Layla went to go hop on the rope. And I don't know if it was that she slipped and fell or her knee gave out on her, which I've had that happen to me in a similar type situation. So I get it. And I empathize with you, Layla, if that's what happened. But it seemed like there was a little bit of a botch and Layla missed a spot, but I felt like they covered it well. The cameraman kind of had the bad angle, because when Layla landed off the rope, you could see her like look at Sky and just be like, come on, you know. But the finish still finished well. It didn't look like anyone got hurt, which was very important. And yeah, it was a good match. It was a good solid match. Aggravated that was the only woman's match in you know, the 2-hour collision, but it is what it is. No, I'm not going to say it is what it is, but we know our feelings on this here at the Biconics. So
yes. And normally we would go into like a long tangent, but we're going to save that for another time.
Yes. 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, me and Adolfo.
Get your shit together, Tony Khan. Moving on. Yes,
we could do that. And plus, me and Adolfo can talk more. I like that it when we see each other in 4 weeks. Yes, 4 weeks, Adolfo. I will be at your house. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be wild. Speaking of things being wild, we get to our main event of Collision. And this is a trios match. We have the EVPs themselves, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, teaming up with their buddy Kazuchika Okada, taking on the team of the Busted Pack. And FTR Bald and FTR Aggravated Assault, also known as Gun Charge and almost Burt Reynolds.
Cash and Dax.
Look, it is late. You know,
saucy,
some people
spicy little one. You
listen, there's a reason why we're called the Biconics here. When it is late, instead of me getting mad and hangry or just being super silly, I get extremely, but you know, but honestly, on paper, I was just like, okay, well, I already know who's going to win. But two things. Number one, I was very surprised at who picked up the victory here. I was like,
It's
like, well, I mean, that'll do it for me. And then number two, I'm like, I actually really like this match a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah. It looked like Okada, the Rainmaker, help, line, yeah.
Rainmaker.
Line. Okay.
Line, okay, mine. Nope.
It really, to me at least, it looked like Okada got hung out by the Young Bucks. And
kind of, yeah.
Like they left him out to be the
heavy
the beating post, you know, because it seemed like Okada was in there for a long time. It seemed like he got a lot of punishment from FTR and from Pac, and it was, which Young Buck was it that ate the pin in this one?
Matthew
ate the pin when Pac did his fucking amazing loop-a-loop off the top rope and pinned Matthew. So, you know, it was good. It was a good match, though. It was a good match. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that means that the Young Bucks are walking away with the tag team belts tonight, I should say.
Dynasty for sure. And I think the same can also be said. I think Okada is retaining the Continental Championship as well, since their team lost this match.
Yeah, because FTR and Pac just looked too good in this match. They looked too keyed in. All their spots, their tags were just boom, 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 boom. They really looked like they had the EVPs and Okada just like off kilter the whole match. So that's,
it is. So Pac and FTR end up winning this match. However, the EVPs and Okada attack them afterwards. And then Daniel Garcia comes down for the save. And then
why the hell not?
The EVPs run out, and then Okada's kind of taking the brunt force of the punishment, and then they come back to grab him, and everybody has to stare down as we end collision. But we are not done quite yet, because then we transition into Rampage, because it is a 3-hour block again this week. I'm going to be honest, I am happy that we are going back to our regular scheduled programming next week, where everything is separate. And I don't have to have a bunch of things happening on the same night. But Rampage kicks off with a backstage promo from Jon Moxley addressing the fact that now the match against Hobbs on Wednesday is for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. I like this promo. I thought it served its purpose. You know, Mox saying that he's going to hurt Hobbs, but also knows how powerful Hobbs is. But it doesn't matter, because Mox isn't going to be letting go of this title, and Hobbs is in a world of hurt come this Wednesday. I think this match is going to be cool. Don't necessarily think that we needed to, given the fact that we literally just saw this match be made 30 minutes ago, but I'm still excited for this.
Yeah, it was a surprisingly solid spot for Jon Moxley. At least the more recent, again, I'm probably alone on this island, but the most recent Jon Moxley spots have been kind of weak, in my opinion. So this spot I felt was strong. I really liked how he told Powerhouse Hobbs, if he gets a shot, take it, you know, and acknowledge the fact that Powerhouse Hobbs is a monster, but he wants that monster to come at him. You know, he doesn't want anything less. So it was good. I liked it. It was a good spot.
It was. Then this leads into the first match for Rampage. So given the fact that Rampage took place on a certain unofficial holiday, you know, pass the duchy to the left-hand side is what we're going
420.
To Yeah, 420. Blaze it.
Let's just not dance around it. Call a spade a spade. Let's not dance around it. It was 420.
So they had Rob Tokyo kids. Yep. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do drugs. Do it safely.
So they had a
and have
420
lots of snacks around.
Lots of snacks. That's right.
Take it from your BC WrestlePod elders.
That's right. They had a 420 four-flying
420 four-way elimination match just because. At first, I was like, oh, is there going to be stakes? No, it was just a match to have a match. But this basically was an elimination-style fatal four-way with no real stakes. So this match saw RVD versus Commander versus Isaiah Cassidy versus Lee Big Shoddy Lee Johnson. I have to say, on paper, I was like, I'm not sure how I'm excited I'm going to be for this match. And by the end of it, I was like, well, darn, I actually really liked this match. I thought this was a fun match. It was a really, really fun match.
Yes.
So I got everything that I wanted. All the wrestling was pretty decent. I was happy to see Comender make it to the final two with RVD, which was a fun finishing sequence. I got the Isaiah Cassidy scream. So best match 10 out of 10 because of the scream.
Yeah. And Brother Zay, I thoroughly enjoy a good oversell. You know, I am not going to hide my feelings about that. Brother Zay tonight, he was like, I don't think he was overselling to be an asshole, but he was overselling and it was just beautiful. And I don't know if he picked up what the microphones picked up. You know, he like when he would make remarks when stuff would hit him. Like I think Commander did some move and he was like, oh my God, you know, it was hilarious. So good on you, Brother Zay. Keep up the good work. That was very entertaining. Very entertaining.
It was.
Yeah, this match, as the kids say, had no rights to be as good as it was. But it was entertaining and it gave us what we wanted, and Rob Van Dam won the day for the 420.
Yes, 420 blaze it. Love it. Fantastic. They knew what they were doing. It was a lot of fun to watch this. Then we get into the second match of the evening. This was Yuka Sakazaki taking on Emi Sakura. I was upset because the majority of this match went to picture in picture. And by the time it came, the match was like, oh, it's over. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was disappointed. Yeah. I'm like, how dare you?
It was weird. Yeah. I just, 80% of the match was during the commercial, and then they came back and what's her face, the kawaii one,
Yuka
gets the pin, and like apparently she almost like blew her knee out or something like that, or
she tried to do some sort of cartwheel but then slipped, but Emmy was able to kind of stall for time a little bit. But yeah, it was not great, and I was sad because I actually was looking forward to this match because I know how good Yuka is, but we know Emmy. Emmy's super fantastic. I love seeing her back on AEW television, but yeah, I was very underwhelmed by it. And because a lot of the biggest factor of the fact that the majority of this match was in picture in picture.
I want to later this week, I want to see if I can find that full match and actually watch it to see if it was as goofy as it, you know, if it was truly just a goofy match, or if it that is because of the picture in picture being 80% of the match, that's kind of like what disrupted it and made it more goofy, you know. But yeah, it wasn't a pretty match. I guess there were botches again. So much of the match happened in picture in picture. It was hard to figure out what happened, so
yeah, which is very unfortunate. So then, without no hesitation, we immediately cut into our in-ring segment after that match, where we have Cool Hand Angelo Parker talking about, you know, all recapping basically everything that has happened the last couple weeks between him and Zack Knight. But unfortunately, he lost his match to Zack Knight, and, you know, he's hinting that maybe he should retire from in-ring competition because he has nothing to fight for, which then cue Ruby Soho to come out and basically play the girlfriend and is like, no. You do have something to fight for. I didn't know how to tell you this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm pregnant. And, you know, for to fill in all the rest of the audience, Ruby and Angelo are a real life couple. So this is not a storyline. They are actually together. They are, you know, this is not just something that, oh, they got thrown together to work together and now we're doing this weird pregnancy story. But no, they are a real life couple. I want to dispel that. And then Angelo was very surprised. And then, you know, Ruby's like, you know, with everything going on, and then just like Angelo interrupted her by planting a kiss. They make out. Super exciting. I was not expecting that announcement, but it was so wholesome. I love when wrestling fans can get behind like real life celebrations like that, because the crowd was so happy. So was I.
There was one dude when Ruby said, "I'm pregnant," like over her right shoulder. There was one dude in the front row that just like lost his. He was like, "Yeah, man, congratulations." You two from the Biconics, you know, we hope everything goes well. Take whatever time off of wrestling you need. I, for as sad as I am to that Cool Hand In lost that match to Zach, you know, way to come back with the ending, AEW. Like, it was good. It was good. It was the ending that I wanted or that I needed in this whole story, you know, and I'm good. I honestly hope that Cool Hand In, well, of course, Ruby Soho definitely needs to take the time off, but you know, that Cool Hand In takes the time off with her, you know, and I hope that they take the time off that they need so they can, you know, start the family the way they want to, you know, and don't hurry back to try to, you know, this story's still going to be here. We're still going to be here. We'll be waiting for you. So just, you know, do your thing, you know.
Congratulations to both of them. I'm super excited. And I love seeing wrestling couples expand their families. And I look forward to the journey that they're about to undertake. It's going to be fantastic. So we then get into the main event of the evening. This is a trios match, which sees the Undisputed Kingdom, which is Matt Taven and Mike Bennett and Roddy Strong, taking on the team of Kyle O'Reilly, Rocky Azucar Romero, and Daddy Magic, Matt Menard. And just a little peek behind the curtains, I sent the card to Adolfo yesterday evening. And this was me the entire match, not just from in-ring action, but all the bodies. I was just like melting in my chair. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Ah, yeah, it was like, good.
Rocky Romero, call me. I'm just
kidding. Right? Right?
But this match was so good.
Yeah. This match was really good. They should just keep Undisputed Kingdom, and he's calling himself the Messiah now, Roddy.
Okay, Seth Rollins, calm down.
Fucking A, man. They should keep him as a trio, because like as a trio, we had this discussion. As a trio, all their characters work. You know, when he's off by himself, it doesn't work. But you know, this was a good match. Again, the baby faces, they came in looking good. They had the Undisputed Kingdom off kilter for, you know, pretty much the whole match. I mean, you got some good, the Undisputed Kingdom did get some good shots in there, but for the most part, like, all their shenanigans were kept to a minimum. And, you know, the baby faces, Kyle O'Reilly, Azucar, and Cool Hand, I'm sorry, Daddy Magic, they looked really good. They looked really good. They looked like a proper trios team, dare I say, this match. So, and they picked up the win. I believe it was Cool Hand Ange that got the pin. No, it was Kyle O'Reilly.
He made Mike Bennett tap, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. I feel that that's going to harbinge, you know, the Undisputed Kingdom sweeping Dynasty in a few hours here. But, you know, for tonight, it was good. It was good. I liked it.
It was. This was a fun main event. The baby faces won. I'm a little more excited for Kyle and Broderick's match at Dynasty now, if this is the level of what we're getting, because I enjoyed the one-on-one face-off they had during this match for a brief period of time. I'm excited for this match. And with that, with the baby faces standing tall, this brings us to the end of the second week in a row of a 3-hour AEW block. So, Adolfo, my Puerto Rican brother, what do you give this 3-hour block? Would you like me to go first?
Go do it.
I'm just going to make it short and sweet. If I'm combining Collision, if I'm combining Rampage together as a 3-hour block, overall, as two go-home shows combined into one before Dynasty, I'm going to give this a solid 7 out of 10. I thought Collision and Rampage together this week was very enjoyable. I enjoyed a lot of the wrestling. We kind of finalized some stuff for Dynasty, building into those matches with promos and then team certain people in matches that are happening at Dynasty Wrestling tonight. And also, I have to give extra bonus points for the Ruby Soho pregnancy announcement, because it is very rare we get to celebrate beautiful life moments in professional wrestling because of how weird storylines can be. But it's really nice to see actual happy things happen to the wrestlers that we've been following for quite some time now. So I give this a solid 7 out of 10. And you know what? This was a fun 3-hour block.
Yep. 7 out of 10. It was fun.
Heck, yes.
It kept me awake. It kept me awake until 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
So that we could do this. So.
So granted. Yeah. Me and Adolfo are going to get up on out of here. Adolfo was nice enough to stay up super late to watch the West Coast feed, because for those of you who are going to tune into it later, I just got done watching the TNA pay-per-view tonight, and then I immediately went into this 3-hour block. So I need to also get some sleep, because I got a review to do tomorrow with Andrew and Will with our TNA pay-per-view. And then I'm watching Dynasty, and the review of that will be this upcoming Monday. So me and Adolfo are going to be busy.
4-hour Dynasty.
Ooh. I got to tell you some things while we wait for the stuff to upload after we're done with this. But me and Adolfo are going to head up on out of here. So thank you for tuning into another special 3-hour block. Next week, all the AEW programming is going back to its regular scheduled times. So we get a little bit of a break before then. But from myself, Adolfo, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay biconic. More importantly, you always deserve to finish your story. We'll catch you for AEW Dynasty review in a couple of days. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Billy Stark's Artro.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.